Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
These are called the days of awe. God gave a word recently. It was one of the most glorious, miraculous manifestations of God's presence when he gave the word. He said, the next move of God is going to be a move of awe. But we're not quite ready for it yet. We should be ready. We should be completely ready. But we're not quite. But if we ask God and we say we want to be ready, we will become ready. But you have to want to with all your heart to be ready for the days of awe. Because the move of awe is scheduled to begin on Rosh Hashanah. Last year, we had a foretaste of it on Rosh Hashanah. We were in that meeting. And after the service, a holy hush swept over the entire congregation. And no one could move for almost 40 minutes. It was just a foretaste of the kind of anointing that's coming. But it cannot begin without reverence. Because this is the move that is going to prepare the earth for times of awe and the greatest action of awe this earth has ever seen, when the sky splits and the clouds roll back like a scroll and the trumpet of God sounds and the dead in Christ are raised first. And Jesus appears, the parousia, the appearing of our Lord in the heavens. And every eye shall see him. All the nations shall bow before him. And the workers of evil will be terrified at his coming, because it is a move of awe. You say, Dr. Correll, what do you mean? The only way I can explain it is, first, it begins with the anointing. That's stage one, to know the anointing and to yield to the Holy Spirit with one's entire being. Then from the anointing, when it's perfectly in protocol and order, then it moves to glory. That is the next stage. Glory. When everything is in perfection, when the work of God comes to a place of utter perfection. The only way to explain that, you can't explain it, beloved, in English. You have to have been an eyewitness. The apostle said we were eyewitnesses of his glory. I can't explain to you what it was like in the last generation. I can't. I don't have the words to explain to you what it was like in a Catherine Coleman meeting. I can't do it. There's no human words to define it. It was pure glory. And I believe that it reached a pinnacle of awe. Awe is the next move. But until man presents himself and those in the body of Christ yield completely to the Holy Spirit, awe cannot come. So this we must surrender. Say this with me, this Elul, I want to surrender. I want to get ready for Rosh Hashanah. But I want to be ready with the anointing. Let's look and see what that looks like. Let's go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18 is one of the closest revelations of awe we will ever see in the scriptures. First of all, what is the word awe and what does it mean? In Hebrew, it is the word yirah. We would say gyra, but it's not gyra, it's yira. Yira means the fear of the Lord. This is one thing, beloved saints, we're lacking, is the fear of God. Because lacking fear and reverence is incompatible with the glory. The glory cannot dwell where there's no fear of God, where there's no understanding of reverence. Oh, I give you praise, wonderful Jesus. The Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 24, part B of the verse, the Bible says, the God that answereth by fire, he is the Lord. Now, the reason Elijah was going to call down fire from heaven was not for sensationalism. As a matter of fact, Elijah's ministry stopped sensationalism because Baal worship is based completely on sensationalism. How you feel, what makes you feel good. We have turned the worship of Almighty God and the service of God into what makes us feel good. So there were signs of severity, so that you would know that the Lord's word is stronger than any Baal spirit to shut up the heavens because Israel had turned to a false god to bring the rain for the crops. And Elijah said, there shall not be dew, that's the anointing. Nor shall there be rain, that's the anointing. But according to my word. You always know when a Jezebel spirit is present, because there's no dew or rain. Are you hearing me? That's why he had to block it up. He said, there shall be no dew and there shall be no rain, but according to my word. Signs of severity. He locked up the heavens. And the Lord said to him, because Elijah is the prophet of awe. I said, Elijah is the prophet of awe. And the reason he became the prophet of awe is he was the prophet of prayer and fasting, just like Moses. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you really want to die to yourself, try prayer and fasting. And the Bible tells us that the Lord said, get thee hence. In 1 Kings 17, get thee hence and turn eastward. 1 Kings 17, before we go to 18. 1 Kings 17. We're looking at the word because the Holy Ghost is changing the message. 1 Kings chapter 17, looking at verse 2. And the Lord God, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself. Say this with me. If you really want the anointing, hide yourself. Put your hands up right now and say, I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Whoever says otherwise has contradicted Paul in Romans chapter 7. And Romans chapter 7, and I will quote it for you in case somebody comes and tells you that is just not good for my psychology. That no good thing dwelleth in our flesh. That's not good. That doesn't make me feel good. But actually, in reality, it really does when you hide yourself in God. It really does when we hide ourselves in Christ. And we see, beloved saints, we've gotten quite away from sound doctrine. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 7. The Bible says in Romans chapter 7. The Bible says, no good thing dwelleth in my flesh. And this is why, beloved saints, it is so important that we understand, because Paul said, I find a law that it is sin, no longer I, but sin that dwelleth in me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But the Bible says, who will deliver me from this body of death? So we need to understand, beloved saints, that no good thing dwells in our flesh. Going to Philippians chapter, since we're in the very close to Philippians, let's go to Philippians just for a moment. Philippians chapter 3, and looking at Philippians chapter 3, the Bible says, the last line, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Turn to your neighbor and say, no confidence in the flesh. And let's go to John chapter 6, verse 63. Say this with me, John 6, 63. Oh, are you ready? Hallelujah. Somebody ought to give God praise. Just in case we thought we should have some confidence in the flesh. Oh my. The Bible says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Say this with me, the flesh profiteth nothing. No good thing dwells in my flesh. And say this with me, have no confidence in the flesh. Say this with me. My confidence is solely in Jesus Christ. And the greatest anointing Jesus can give me is to be hidden in him, that no man be seen. And say this with me. My feelings don't belong in ministry. Hello, I said my feelings don't belong in ministry. That doesn't mean the Holy Ghost can't use your feelings to be his feelings. But if you really want to be in the ministry, so many people, oh, I want to sign up for a school of ministry. So many people, oh, I want to be in the ministry. I can't wait to be in the ministry. Oh, really? My dear, I can't wait to be out there, and how wonderful it would be, just so glorious to give a prophetic word. How great it would be to lay hands on people. Do you know, beloved, the price that must be paid for that anointing? You see, beloved, Rosh Hashanah is all about coronating the Almighty as King. You say, well, I've already done that. The theme of Rosh Hashanah is Kabbalat Ol Malkut Shemayim. That means take upon yourself the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. And this means, if we're taking upon ourselves the yoke of the kingdom of heaven, that we must subordinate ourselves to everything in the kingdom. And Jesus made his whole ministry focused on the kingdom. First, he teaches us the value of the kingdom. Do you really want to be in ministry? Many are called, but few are chosen. Why? Not because God has favorites, but it's because there's a price that must be paid. Jesus tells us the value of the kingdom. This Rosh Hashanah, to say I submit myself to the kingdom completely, then we must make a commitment. Jesus tells us what that commitment is. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man who went seeking goodly pearls. And when he found one pearl of great price, he sold everything. He sold everything. He sold everything he had. And he purchased that pearl. The Bible tells us, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, that when a man finds it, did you find the treasure hidden in the field? Ask your neighbor, where is your treasure? I mean, be honest. This is not the time for games. Be realistic. Where is your real treasure? You have to ask yourself. There's nothing wrong with being truthful. You love the kingdom, but maybe you love other things as well that are equal with your love for the kingdom. There's nothing wrong with that, but be honest. There has to be reality. We have to face the facts. Really face the facts. What is the most important thing in your life? There's nothing wrong if you love other things as much as you love the kingdom. You're not a sinner going to hell, God forbid. But it just means that those that want the kingdom, not just a few that want the kingdom, everyone who wants the kingdom must pay the same price. It's a sellout. It's a sellout, and there's few, very few. See, there's a lot of wise people in this world and in this room. Some of you are extremely wise. You're wise through what you've been through. Your sufferings did not make you selfish. Sometimes sufferings can make us self-addicts, constantly feeling sorry for ourselves. And sometimes sufferings can make us very wise. They can make us so wise. Sufferings make us so wise. Because we know what we want. We've already been there, done that, and know that the world is nothing but a fleeting facade. It's empty and filled with vanity, and its momentary pleasures are just for a moment. So there's many wise people in this room. You've already made your decision. You already know. Some of you know you cannot even trust man. You can trust nobody. But the Holy Spirit you can trust. He will never let you down. And you've made your decision. You've already made your choice. This doesn't mean you have to live in a monastery. This doesn't mean that you neglect your family. This doesn't mean you let your children go. But you just, everybody knows the order of God. And everybody knows, because that anointing goes on to your seed and your seed. Are you with me? If you really love your children, make a wise decision. Get sold out for Christ. If you really love your children, give everything to Christ that you have. The kingdom will cost us everything. And we put a value in this Rosh Hashanah. He's asking us, are you willing this Rosh Hashanah to make the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ? And are you this Rosh Hashanah willing to submit everything you have under the crown, under the kingdom of heaven? Are you willing to sell out this Rosh Hashanah for everything that God has for you? What else is the kingdom? The kingdom of God is like the word of God. It goes and it multiplies. Everything in the kingdom multiplies. It's like a mustard seed. Put your hands up and say, this Rosh Hashanah, I'm getting ready for mustard seed anointing. Come on. I'm getting ready for everything I touch to multiply. because I'm doing it with excellence. I'm doing it with my best ability. I'm doing it sold out. I'm doing it with the right intentionality. I'm not doing it for fame or to get a pat on my back. I'm not doing it so people will even appreciate me. I am doing it because I love Jesus, and every single thing I do as unto Him. I want the best for Him and nothing else. You understanding, saints? The Lord said to Elijah, go and hide yourself. Go and hide yourself. Put your hands up and say, Holy Spirit, teach me how to hide. Teach me how not to be seen. Teach me how to put my flesh and feelings aside for the kingdom. Teach me how to put my wants aside and want only your wants. Let my will become so united with your will that my will is totally resigned and totally indifferent to this world. Whatever you say, that's what I want. Whatever you choose makes me happy. I'm not going to struggle with it. I know you love me. And I know you've only got the best for me. I know you've got only great things for me. I know you have a hundredfold return for me. I know that the eye has not seen, neither has the ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things that you have prepared for those that love you. So, Lord Jesus, I know what you have prepared for me. And so at this moment, I make that commitment to the kingdom. To the kingdom. This Rosh Hashanah, say it with me, this Rosh Hashanah, I want to be sold out. I don't want to be seen of men. I only want God's will. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. That's what will thrill me, Lord. Come on. That's what I want. I want to be content with your will. I want your will to be united. I want my will to be united with your will. I don't want my own will. Not my own way. Not my own feelings. Not what benefits me, but what benefits the kingdom. We're looking at the days of awe. There was so much awe in Elijah's ministry because Elijah was not seen. The Lord said, go and turn yourself hence. Turn thee eastward. Say, I want to turn eastward. Do you know what that means? Not talking about a direction. Eastward is a word that is used to describe the Garden of Eden. Turn thee eastward means come and be alone with me. Partake of my presence and my glory. Turn thee eastward and hide thyself. The Bible says. And the Bible says, by the brook Cherith, which is before Jordan. Now, all of Israel had turned away from God, worshiping Baal. Whether we realize it or not, we have a church. Oh God, please. That can't tell the difference between sensational and supernatural. We are becoming addicted to the sensational. But God wants us to know the supernatural. And the only way we'll really know the supernatural is to yield to the Holy Spirit who lives in us. We are his personal property. We are the possession of the Holy Spirit. And so we understand that Elijah is going to take all of Israel after 3 years. He's going to take them to Mount Carmel. And he's going to say, the Lord that answers by fire, he is God. If Baal be God, serve him. If God be God, then serve him. And the Bible tells us, beloved saints, in verse 24, the God that answereth by fire, he is the Lord. And looking at verse 37, part B of the verse says, Elijah's prayer that he's going to call fire down from heaven is not so people will be mesmerized by his anointing. He's going to ask God to reveal fire, not so men will see how great he is. Awe is going to be revealed. And Elijah is saying that the people, verse 37 part B, may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you. Awe is given for one reason, and that is to turn our hearts back to the Lord. Those of us who might have been double-minded, Elijah said, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? Some of us are like yo-yos. We get all moved at a service. We become completely committed. And as soon as the service is over, whammy. And so we can't halt, beloved ones, between two opinions. We must continue steadfast. And the Bible tells us he prayed this prayer. The purpose of awe is for the purpose of turning hearts to the Lord. And the Bible says, then, looking at verse 38, following verse 37, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. If there's no burnt sacrifice, there is no fire. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you really want the fire of God to return? Do you really want to see awe in your life? Then present the Lord the sacrifice he desires. He desires it. He longs for it. He loves it. Let him be blessed with a sweet-smelling savor of your entire life. Bring joy to the heart of your God. Hallelujah. Fire fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. And beloved saints, it consumed the wood. That means everything. Everything the wood means, it's the cross we carry. And it also consumed the stones. The stones represent the building blocks. And it consumed the dust, that means our flesh. I said it consumed the wood, that's the cross. And it consumed the stones, that's the steps that we take walking with God. And it consumed the dust, that's our flesh. Hallelujah. And the water that was in the trench, it proves it's supernatural fire, it's not from this earth. Because water in the natural puts out the fire, but fire from heaven consumes the water. Hallelujah. That is awe. I want to conclude with showing you the place we see the fear of God mentioned the most in any other book of the Bible. Fear being awe is the book of Acts. This is the place that awe is revealed. Say this with me. The 10 days of awe are going to begin a time of awe in the body of Christ. Visitation such as we've never seen before. Say it. Visitation such as we've never seen before. That's why we've got to be out of the way and not let our minds stop what God is doing. Just go with the flow. Touch somebody and say, go with the flow. It's going to be so holy. Don't interrupt what God is doing. Acts chapter 2, verse 43. Acts chapter 2, verse 43 tells us, beloved saints, and the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. How do we know it's a real wonder? Not by sensationalism. How do we know someone is performing a wonder of God and not a satanic wonder? How do we know? We know that it's a true wonder when fear of God and serving God and the holiness of God is felt among the people, not by the sensationalism of that thing. Are you hearing me? There is a place in God that when a wonder is done, it doesn't just make you feel good. The wonder that's happening doesn't just mesmerize you. Wow. Look at that. No, you know it's a wonder. A true wonder when people are falling on their faces before God. Do you realize what happened when the fire fell from heaven? The Bible says the people said, "The Lord, He is God," and they fell on their faces. Awe will make the people of God worship the Lord and fall on their faces. Notice Acts chapter 5. Oh, we're not ready for this, child of God. But I'm giving you the word so you will be ready, okay? The Bible says, oh my goodness, Ananias and Sapphira did a big boo-boo. They lied to the Holy Spirit. God's been merciful to us. Because if the glory was like it is going to be, if it was with some of us the way we are, we have no problem with lying. I said we have no problem with lying. Are you really ready for the awe? Tell your neighbor, say, are you really ready for the awe, child? Because things are going to happen. When the awe happens, beware. Beware that you're not lying to the Holy Spirit. Beware that you don't stretch the truth with no fear of God at all. With a straight face, you can just look at somebody and tell them a straight, flat-out lie. And it doesn't bother us at all. Just a flat-out lie. Can't happen. Can't happen when the off. We have to be truthful. We have to say what's what. Because Ananias and Sapphira, they had a little plan. They didn't need to hold back a part of the price. But they did. And the Bible tells us that they made a deal. We don't know why. Why would they do that? It's ridiculous. They didn't have to do it. Nobody was forcing them to sell their property. Peter said, "It was when it was yours, was it not your own to choose and do exactly what you wanted to do with it? Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" And so we see here, precious dear ones, that they came in, said the lie, first Ananias is just drops dead when he says the lie. 3 hours later, Sapphira comes in. And she didn't know that her husband was dead. And the Bible tells us in verse 5. And hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear fell upon them that heard these things. Tell your neighbor, awe. Look at verse 11. And great fear came upon all the church as they heard these things. When wonders happen, awe is the result. Awe is the result of wonders. Put your hands up right now and say, Lord, we want the wonders. We want the awe. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 9, verse 31 tells us, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee, and they were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and they were multiplied. Say this with me. I want to walk in the fear of the Lord. Acts chapter 13, say, days of awe are coming upon us. Acts chapter 13, verse 16, the Bible says, then Paul stood up, beckoning with his hand, saying, men of Israel, ye that fear God, give audience. Hallelujah, because he was going to preach a message. And Acts chapter 19, verse 17, oh, glory. Hallelujah. Verse 17 tells us, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Acts 19 is taken a little out of context. This is when the sons of Sceva thought that they could use the name of Jesus and cast out devils just using his name. And so they thought so because Sceva was a very influential priest. So they thought somehow that God will somehow give a special place to those who have a worldly position. Somehow he's going to be able to cast out devils because he's a priest's son, sons of Sceva. We've got this in with God because of our father's position. And they went to cast out a devil that was in somebody. And they said, in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, come out. And the man that was possessed with the spirit said, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you? Can I really tell you what that looks like? Okay, I'll tell you what that looks like. Years ago, Papa and I used to go every year to Indonesia. It would be so much ministry in Indonesia. Our children went with us. They were youngsters then. Now they're adults. They have their own children. And my grandson Joel is getting married in September. That's why he's not here. But my granddaughter Sienna is. Hallelujah. That's Sienna right there. She's waving to everybody. Hallelujah. She's a film graduate as well from Chapman University. And we have to know that when they were young, our children were young, they used to travel with us everywhere. But when we went to Indonesia, it was impossible to stay together because we'd go to so many islands at one time, we'd have to go to 14 plane trips in 1 month. So that would mean about double that would be the services that we would have in each place. So Papa used to take JoJo, and I would take our daughter Rose. And Papa's ministry was basically deliverance. Anywhere he went, demons started screaming. And in Indonesia, that was just unbelievable. People would swallow like pins or fortunes in Denpasar or different places. And the moment Papa would come near, they would start coughing up everything that was in there. He was probably had the strongest deliverance ministry I've ever seen in my life. Anywhere he went. You all only knew him when he was older. And the reason I'm sharing this is last year, the Lord knew he was going to take him home. And he wanted us to visit Indonesia one more time together. It was a trip we didn't tell really the ministry about because we were raising funds for pastors. And this time, approximately 20,000 people were waiting for us. Papa's still in his wheelchair. And one of the girls, this is why I'm sharing, they had to get motorcycles to get to where we were because there was such a traffic jam, it was 2 hours to get up to where we were. And one young lady that knew Papa so well when she was young, she hopped on the motorcycle. And when she got into the room where we were, of course, we said, yes, bring her in. That's Ina, Ina Herkata. She was raised with our family, our children. She was a very, her father was a great sponsor of our work in Indonesia. She came in and she said, oh, all I've been hearing for the past 2 hours is demons screaming in my ears. She said they were screaming, we know Manuel Corral is here. That's what she was hearing. That is not a joke. It doesn't matter if he's in his, if he's still crippled or if he's tall or if he's not tall. Demons knew who he was. Are you hearing me? Do demons know who you are? That's the question. Fear of God fell upon them all. Today, you can come into that anointing. You can come into that place. Stand to your feet right now.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church, and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button, or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.